Hello, and thank you for listening to part one of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teachings which were originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen. The following is the teaching given by Pastor Grace Jung.
Andrew Murray is a man of God who has preached many sermons as well as written many books. When asked to encapsulate all of his teachings with one sentence, he responded, "Take time to wait upon the Lord." What this means is that out of all the things that Andrew Murray has learned in life, he discovered that the most important thing for God's people to understand is the need for them to spend time in His presence. He said that the most important message that the church needs to be emphasizing is the topic of waiting upon God. Why is it then that the church at large rarely addresses this topic? The answer is found in the fact that the discipline of waiting upon God is something that is quite repulsive to the flesh, something that the enemy is very much in opposition to, as well as something that our natural person is very unwilling to do. There are few who teach and preach upon this topic, and the reason is that unless a person is willing to actually practice waiting upon the Lord, this person will not be able to teach it or preach on it. And yet, we find that this is something that the Church of Jesus Christ at large is very much in need of hearing. Let's first look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verses 10 through 16. There it reads, "But the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols, shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel, therefore I have sworn against them, declares the Lord God, that they shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to serve as priests to me, nor come near to any of my holy things, to the things that are most holy. But they will bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet I will appoint them to keep charge over the house, of all its service and of all that should be done in it. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me. They shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord. They shall enter my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge." In the Old Testament times, God chose the Levites to be the ones that ministered as priests in the temple. In the New Testament, we find in 2 Peter 2:9 that we are a holy priesthood of people belonging to God. This pertains to all Christians today. We are a priesthood of believers without distinction like the Old Testament times. In the Old Testament times, there were two major categories of priests. One type of priests were the one who served in the outer courts. They served as priests of the Lord in front of the congregation of God's people. Some of their duties encompassed the work of killing the goats and the bulls for sacrificial purposes. Basically, their work was in the outer areas of the temple. The other types of priests were the sons of Zadok, who were the only ones who served inside the sanctuary. Their role was to take charge of the sanctuary, minister to God Himself in close proximity, and observe the things that God had commanded. So when we talk about waiting on God, we are referring to the ministry of the sons of Zadok, who went near to God's presence in order to minister to Him. This is the idea of waiting upon God. It's like entering into the sanctuary where God's presence resides. Where then is the sanctuary today? The sanctuary is found within all believers. Scripture tells us that our body is the temple of the Lord. This is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It's a place where God dwells. So when we seek the Lord inwardly and draw near to Him, to stand in His presence, to hear His voice, we are in essence waiting upon God. In the English language, there are two expressions that describe this idea. One is to wait for, and the other is to wait upon. Waiting for suggests the idea that we are waiting for and anticipating His arrival. In the Bible, we do see this idea. For example, we might be waiting for God to establish something in our midst. However, what I would like to focus on more is the expression of waiting upon. This expression speaks more of the fact that He is here. And because He is present, I am standing in His presence, focusing my whole attention on Him and ministering to Him. This is what is meant as we continue to discuss the topic of waiting upon God. We want to come to awareness that one of the most important roles of our calling to be a priesthood is the role of drawing near in intimacy to God. Unless we draw near in intimacy, we won't be able to observe what He commands because we will not be able to hear His voice. As a New Testament believer, we all have such a blessed privilege in being invited to draw near to God in intimacy. However, there are too many believers today who have forfeited this wonderful privilege. This is why God's people are living in such spiritual poverty. Because being able to experience intimacy with God is such a great gift of grace. Jesus set for us a wonderful example of being intimate with God while He lived on earth. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, we find that after He had served the masses by feeding them, He made the disciples get into the boat to go ahead of Him to the other side of the lake. And when the crowds had left, He went alone up on the mountain to pray till the middle of the night. When He was feeding the masses through the miracle of food multiplication, it was during the afternoon hours. After the people had eaten and left the mountainside, Jesus went alone to pray on the mountain till the middle of the night. Since He is the Son of God, did He really need to pray for that long? Did He really have that much to say to His Father in heaven? What do you think He is doing all that time in prayer? I believe He is mainly drawing near to God and spending intimate time with His Father. Jesus would regularly take time to draw near to His Father after He spent time ministering to the people. He needed to have that intimacy and connectedness with the Heavenly Father in order that He may continue to live in the center of the Father's will. Even more so for us, we need to have that same connectedness with the Father also. Another example can be found in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, where Jesus, before choosing the 12 disciples, spent the entire night in prayer to the Father. He spent the entire night praying until daylight arrived. Then He called His disciples to Him and selected from among them the 12. Now think about this. Jesus is in essence God Himself. It should be very easy for Him to understand what the will of the Father is in regards to whom to choose. Why then did Jesus need to spend an entire night in prayer for this? As I read this passage, I reflected that it could be because of the fact that Jesus knew what Judas would do to Him in the near future. Judas would be one who follows Him for 3 years as one of the 12, the one who sells Him out, the one who would sell Him out with a kiss. It must have been quite a challenge for Jesus to have to choose Judas as one of the 12. Think of this. If you had foreknowledge that one of your close followers would someday betray you, it would be to you like a thorn in your body, wouldn't it? That is why I believe Jesus had to spend an entire night in prayer. He needed to find in the Father a strength and acceptance of the selection of Judas as being one of the 12. If it were you, would you be willing to choose a person like Judas? Out of all the people that you could choose, would you choose one that will betray you in the manner that Judas betrayed Jesus? So we can see here that Jesus had to pray to accept the Father's will in this matter. Prayer is not only about saying a lot of things to God. There is a need, as Jesus did, to draw close to the Heavenly Father through times of prayer. And in this situation, with choosing Judas, it was a time where intimacy with the Father granted Jesus the joyful willingness to submit to the Father's will. Prayer can take on different modes. One is the expression of praise and thanksgiving. Another mode of prayer is seeking God's will in certain matters. Another is intercession on behalf of other people. In fact, most of the believers' prayers are centered on interceding on behalf of other people's issues. If one does spend time to seek God's will, that is already quite impressive, since many have presumed that they can do things themselves without even having to ask. But most of the believers' prayers are stuck in the arena of intercession. In fact, it has often become an intercession on behalf of one's own needs, such as family issues and work issues. However, there is another mode of prayer, the deepest form of prayer, the highest form of service, and that is face-to-face and heart-to-heart enjoyment of the glorious beauty of God. This form of prayer can be recognized as worship. It is a ministry that carries into eternity. If we look into the book of Revelations, we will find that there are 24 elders who continually bow in worship before God. Now, I used to think that life in heaven would be rather pointless when I didn't understand the significance of what the elders are doing. But when I began to live a lifestyle that included waiting upon God, I personally tasted the sweetness, the enjoyment, and the glory of being in the presence of the Lord. This then led me to a revelatory understanding of the significance of heavenly worship as described in the book of Revelations. You see, the idea of waiting upon the Lord is about drawing close to His presence in worship. Whether you are audible or silent, it's not the issue. Perhaps when you first start, you might need to pray audibly in order to help focus your attention on God. But as you draw near and come face to face with Him, you will not desire to speak anymore. Through your silence, much is being said. You stay in His presence, connecting heart to heart with Him, pouring out your love upon Him and before His feet. This is the picture of what it means to be waiting upon God. Moses in the Bible spent 40 days and nights on the mountain before God's presence. Chances are, Moses didn't talk very much while he was in the presence of God during that period of time. What Moses was doing was setting his attention upon God and enjoying His glorious beauty. Through that, there was an interesting phenomenon that took place in Moses. His face shone with the glory of God. His face was shining in such a way that the Israelites did not dare look at His face. In the same way, when we seek to be in God's presence, when we gaze upon the glorious beauty of God, our faces will also begin to reflect the very glorious character of God. Jesus set a very good example for us to follow. He knew that He only had a little more than 3 years of ministry on earth. Just think about it. In that period of time, His call was to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the multitudes. He was to tell those who were living an earthly existence about the things of God and of heaven. He was faced with so much to do and so many who were sick in need of healing. He was downright busy. Yet Jesus regularly withdrew Himself from the masses in order to pray through the night and spend alone time with His Father. From His life, we can see that Him coming in the flesh meant that He greatly needed to seek intimacy with the Father. Why? Because being in the flesh means inherently that there are a lot of limitations. Every day as we encounter people and situations in the flesh, our spiritual energy is constantly being drained. That is why we need to connect ourselves with the source of energy that is in heaven, so that through God we can receive great power from on high. Let's say there are certain people who have been gifted with the anointing to bring healing and cast out demons. If these people do not take time in their private lives to connect with the source of power from on high, they often end up in some form of nervous breakdown in the latter years of their ministry. The truth is, as humans, we cannot keep expending our energy through exercising our spiritual gifts without proper recharging in God who gives us the gifts. Just like men who use electric razors, there is a need to regularly recharge the batteries in order for it to continue to serve its purpose. If an electric razor is placed in the charging stand, it will be fresh and full of power the next morning. Now it seems that an electric razor is doing nothing as it's being charged in its stand, but actually, it is sitting there quietly absorbing electrical power. In the same way, as we quietly wait upon God, we are soaking up power from Him to live life with. Even if you don't feel much when you wait and just focus your attention on Him, over time you will realize that God has indeed done some tremendous works of transformation in you. There is a brother who went to a far place to visit a sick person. After returning from the trip, he was feeling exhausted and sleepy, so he went and lay down on his bed. Upon lying down, there was an inward conviction in his spirit to get up and seek the Lord. This brother, who came to know the Lord in our church, is one who is quite obedient and teachable. He regularly practices waiting upon the Lord in his daily life and being obedient to the inward leadings of the Holy Spirit. So when this leading came, he submitted. He got up and sat by his bedside to seek intimacy with the Lord. After a short while, God suddenly placed a tremendous spiritual hunger with his spirit. He described that hunger as being like Moses when he entreated God to reveal his glory to him. So he responded by entreating that God would reveal his glory to him. He had never experienced such intense spiritual hunger before, so he continued to cry out to God for the revelation of his glory to him, knowing that God would answer his desires. By the way, when you are in the presence of God, your prayers will take on a greater dimension of faith. Your prayers will not just rise up and stop at the ceiling. Often when we are intimately connected with God, our prayers are fueled by tremendous faith and assurance. Take for example George Mueller. Why is it that Mueller has such confidence in the things that he asks for? Sometimes after he prays about a certain matter, he will tell others to stop praying, because he has already received the assurance that God has already heard. Why does he have such confidence in his prayers? The answer is because Mueller is one who lives constantly in the presence of God. Mueller lives by being intimately connected with God. His life reflects what is said in John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. When you regularly abide in God and are closely connected with Him, your prayers become less and less of your own desires, and more the very desires of God. Furthermore, you pray from the position of being in the presence of God, thus giving you tremendous assurance and confidence in what you pray. For me, there are times that I begin to give thanks after I have prayed for a certain issue, because I have received assurance of my prayers. So this brother was praying with such an intensity and hunger, like Moses asking God to reveal His glory to him. He continued to pray and entreated the Lord over his hunger for His glory. Suddenly, with his natural eyes closed, but spiritual eyes wide open, he began to see that there was an increasing glow in his bedroom. That was the glory of God being manifested right there in increasing measure. As it grew to a climax, the Spirit of God poured abundantly into him, depositing in his spirit the awesome power of God. Brothers and sisters, God does tremendous things in our lives when we purpose to draw close in intimacy. Often when we first begin to wait upon God, everything seems quiet and uneventful, as if nothing is taking place. This is especially true of trying to gain hunger for God. It is something that is entirely a gift of grace from God, instead of something that we can somehow gain on our own. Mothers of newborns desire that their babies will be born with a natural hunger to want to eat. The babies that come out of wanting to suck are the ones that make life quite easy for the mothers. The moms have less to worry about because the newborns are constantly looking for food to eat. But this type of hunger behavior is not always present with all newborns. There are some who just don't want to suck. You can keep pushing the nipple at the baby, but it just has no interest in it. These babies instead tend to sleep a lot, causing their mothers to be very concerned about their baby's well-being. This natural hunger is not something that anyone can teach the newborns. Even medical sciences have no real remedies for this type of behavioral disorder. The only thing that mothers can do is to keep trying to entice and stimulate the babies into wanting to go through the sucking motion. Now our spiritual hunger operates in similar manner. You might have just heard a sermon that has made you feel quite satisfied. But the most important question to focus on is whether you have been made more spiritually hungry by the message. In every service that we attend, there ought to be the hope that through it, we will be stirred into greater and greater hunger for the Lord. The danger is that whenever we stop being spiritually hungry, our spiritual lives will begin to retreat. All that will happen in this state is the gaining of more intellectual knowledge by going to church. There will be a tendency to desire hearing new teachings rather than patiently working through what has already been taught to us. We will be driven by an insatiable appetite for more and more head knowledge. On the other hand, if we are driven by spiritual hunger, we will experience being filled in our spirit even if sermon presents nothing new or profound. We will even be filled through attending a service in a foreign language because our inner spiritual hunger moves us to feed and drink from the Lord in all circumstances. The one who inwardly has God and outwardly encounters the presence of God is the one that is filled and satisfied. So how can we create this spiritual hunger within us? My answer is by waiting upon God. Why? Because God is the fire of love. When we draw close to this fire of love, we will find ourselves heating up from that fire. When we regularly draw close to this fire of love, we will also catch on fire inwardly with that very fire. Whenever we cease to take time in our busy schedules to wait upon God, even if our time is taking up in exciting and fruitful ministries, such as evangelism efforts, efforts that are quite important and needed, we need to realize that we will suffer loss if we don't restore our personal times of drawing close to God. Otherwise, you will discover one day that your hunger for God has waned away. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Here it reads, "But only a few things are necessary, really only one, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." There are many who tend to think that being busy with chores like Martha is not a good thing. It is not necessarily so, even though it is indeed dangerous to be consumed with busyness. One can get to a point of connectedness with God where the person can handle a lot of busyness in life because the person has learned to abide in God as naturally as the action of breathing. This capacity does take years of developing a deep-rooted foundation in God. If there is no such foundation of intimacy built up, the tendency is to grow cold-hearted towards God when we become consumed by life's busyness. The real problem with Martha is that she was overwhelmed by worries and anxieties. If we have not taken enough time of sitting at the feet of Jesus, our best intentions of wanting to serve Jesus by cooking good food for Him will cause us to complain and criticize others as we get busy serving. On one hand, we are serving, yet on the other hand, we are complaining and criticizing others for not helping us by saying, "Why are people not helping? Why is it always just me doing all the work?" Martha, suffering from this situation, finally comes to Jesus to voice her unhappiness with the situation. Yet Jesus' response to her was that Mary has chosen what is best, and that choice shall not be taken away from her. Jesus makes the point that the one thing that cannot be lacking is what Mary has chosen to do in spending personal time with Him. Brothers and sisters, we need to take what Jesus said to Martha and deposit it deeply within us. In the midst of our busy daily lives, we ought to regularly remind ourselves by saying, "Only one thing is necessary. God, I will choose You." See, our tendency is to think that a lot of things are necessary, things that we deem vital and cannot be lacking in our lives. Therefore, many things rise up in priority for us, to the point that we make one thing seem unnecessary, and that is drawing close to seek intimacy with the Lord. This is for real. When we get busy in life, the first thing that gets pushed out of our schedules is the time for waiting on God. Why? Because time with God is not seen by anyone except Jesus Himself. Another reason is that waiting on God often seems fruitless. 1 hour of reading the Bible or 1 hour of evangelism would tend to produce some measurable results that we can quickly attest to. But 1 hour of drawing close to God may not have any immediate noticeable effects. The challenge then is to realize that even though you might not be able to see immediate noticeable effects, something is definitely being worked in you that is unseen. This is why Andrew Murray would make the statement that not 1 minute of your time spent waiting on God is a pointless waste of time. The truth is that as you draw near to God, He draws near to you. This is James 4:8. And what does God do in you as He draws close? He works in you by removing all the earthly baggage that you carry in you. The earthly character He will remove. The earthly worries He'll remove. The earthly nature of doubting and unbelief He will remove. The heavenly mighty faith He puts in you. The heavenly spirit of courage and strength He puts in you. The heavenly fire of love and spiritual hunger He puts in you. That is why the time spent waiting on God is never a pointless waste of time. Jesus said there is only one thing necessary. If you desire that God will impart in you life that is from heaven above, then you ought to take heed of what Jesus said as the only necessary thing. This necessary thing of waiting on Him produces a work of transformation in you that is entirely His doing. You don't do anything to change yourself except to sit in His presence, giving Him your time, giving Him an opportunity to personally do a transforming work in you. God is always looking for people to give Him that opportunity to work in them. There was a sister who was in seminary studies. As a student, she had to work in order to support her seminary education. Even in the midst of a demanding life, she made a commitment to God to spend at least 1 hour per day seeking His presence and waiting upon Him. On one particular day, she found herself to be extremely busy with errands as well as work. By the end of the day, she had only 1 hour before she was to speak at an evening service to the graduating students. There were three options of how to spend that 1 hour. She could prepare her message, eat dinner and take a rest, or take time to wait upon the Lord. If it were you, what choice would you make? Most likely, it would be to take that time and diligently prepare your message because you only have 1 hour left before you are going to deliver it to other students. However, she chose to seek the Lord because she reminded herself that there is really only one thing that is necessary. She told the Lord that she only had 1 hour and she chose to spend that hour in what was truly necessary. In that hour, she pressed in to draw close in intimacy with the Lord and began to lose track of time. Suddenly, she noticed that all the tiredness from the day had disappeared. Furthermore, God deposited in her heart the message that she was to give that night to the graduating students. After a few years had passed, during the reunion of the students who had gone out and served as missionaries and such, there were constant reflections of how the particular sister's message had been a tremendous help in the field of missions. This sister didn't find these comments a surprise at all, because she knew very clearly that her message came directly from God. God had given her the words to say, knowing very well what their needs were. Brothers and sisters, do realize that even when you find yourself at critical crossroads in your life, you still must choose accordingly to the only thing that is necessary. The people who make choices this way are the ones who are truly wise. Let's look at Psalms 27, verse 8. It reads, "When thou didst say, Seek my face, my heart said to thee, Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek." David was a man responsive to God. God said to David, "Seek my face." David immediately responded, "Your face I shall seek." This shows how David was a person who has fostered a heart of responsiveness to the Lord. He didn't say, "Why, Lord, should I be seeking your face? I still have so many battles to fight. Why don't you just enable me to be victorious as I fight? Why don't I just focus on properly ruling over your people?" Rather, he immediately responded to God by saying, "Yes, Lord, your face I shall seek." I pray that God will establish this deeply within all of your hearts. Today, God is also speaking to us, inviting us to seek His face. If we seek God's face, we will find the healing balm for our lives. This healing balm that we will find in God brings effect holistically to our spirit, soul, and physical body. If you find Him, you will gain healing in all these areas of your life. In verse 4 of Psalms 27, it says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple." David writes that the one thing that is most important in his life is to seek the Lord in order to gaze upon His glorious beauty. In David's life, this takes place first before he even begins to make petitions for guidance in prayer. Now, David was one who lived a life of seeking the Lord's guidance in all things. When enemies came to him, he would first seek the Lord's guidance rather than just jumping into battle. Yet seeking guidance from the Lord, as he himself writes here, is not the most important thing in his life. What is most important for him is to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord in order to gaze upon His glorious beauty. This is why David is one that was able to touch the heart of God, for he understood the heart and desires of God. God longs for His people to draw near to Him in intimacy and to gaze upon His beauty. David understood, as well as Mary of Bethany, what God longs for from His people. Let's look at Psalms 63, verses 1 and 2. Here it reads, "O God, Thou art my God, I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for Thee, my flesh yearns for Thee, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld Thee in the sanctuary, to see Your power and Your glory." David wrote the psalm while traveling through the wilderness. In a place where the land was dry, weary, and without water, he reminisced and longed for the times when he was beholding the glory of the Lord in the sanctuary. We, on the other hand, will probably be longing for water to satisfy our physical thirst instead. And if we are feeling weary, chances are our desire would be centered on wanting to sleep. This is the typical tendency to desire what we physically lack. However, David, in these harsh physical circumstances, was still expressing the thirst of his soul and the longing of his heart for God. David understood clearly that God longs for our love. He also understood that his deepest need is to be gazing upon the glorious face of the Lord, because doing so will satisfy his heart as well as give him strength. There is a sister who told the Lord one day, "Lord, it looks like all of the world's burdens are on You. You have to bear everybody's burdens in life as well as to take care of each one of them. You are responsible to solve so many problems that people encounter. Is there anything I can do to relieve some of your stress? Is there anything I can do that will bring delight to your heart?" God responded by saying, "Yes, there is. Come to Me and dialogue with Me." God then said to her, "Most people come to Me to ask Me for all sorts of different things. Some ask for children, some ask for good jobs, others ask for houses, even others ask for pay raises at work. Everybody comes to Me to give their requests of what they want. However, very few come to Me just to have heart-to-heart conversations with Me, inviting Me to enter into the deep chamber of their lives so that I can be an intimate part of their life. People just do not come and discuss with Me the minute details of their lives. They merely want to ask Me for what they want." Upon hearing this, the sister then realized how much God desires to fellowship with us by having heart-to-heart talks. We often tend to treat God as an impersonal power that is useful for casting out demons and healing the sick. We forget that God is a person with a personality. He longs to develop a relationship with us that centers on quality time and communication. Jesus, while on earth, was constantly met with crowds pressing towards Him with the only intention of being healed of their sickness and diseases and being fed. There were very few who knew how to satisfy His heart through drawing close to Him and leaning on His breast. One time Jesus spoke to two sisters, explaining that the need for humanity to be loved is merely a reflection of His heart. This longing is a reflection of what God's heart desires. Human beings have a deep longing to be loved by someone and to have someone to love. This is basically an expression of God's longing to love us and to be loved by us. He created us for the purpose of a loving relationship with us. The problem is that our expectations from Him tend to exist in the externals. We easily give our hearts to people, careers, situations, and things. We get attracted to certain materialistic things, and we make it so precious to our hearts. In all this, we leave our hearts shut towards God, making it impossible to have relational intimacy with Him. Humanity lives to pursue love. When we are young, our pursuit of love centers on the longing to gain parental love. Then we move to the desires of the love of our classmates in school. Later on, we grow older, we begin to long for an other half that can love us deeply. But unless we allow the God who loves us to reside within our hearts, regularly receiving from Him the essence of His love, unless we put our love fully upon Him as a full offering of ourselves to Him, fully giving Him lordship over our passions, we will never experience true satisfaction for our longing for love. The reason for this is that humans' love is never perfect enough to satisfy. Often when another is in true need of your love, you are not conveniently able to give it. This is also true of parental love towards their children. There was a brother who gave a testimony that touched me deeply. He shared that upon having attended a summer conference, he began to live more deeply in the love of God. He regularly spent time in God's presence to the point where he noticed that he had gained an extra measure of ability to set aside his ego in order to love others. When he would come home from work tired and desiring rest and quietness, he found that because of being full of the love of God, he was able to lay his own feelings and needs aside to tend to his children's desire to have conversations with Him. You see, unless we regularly seek to live in the love of God, our love for others, even if it be our dearest children, will be quite imperfect. It is very easy to respond to them in a way that brings hurt to them. This also happens with our spouses, other relatives who love us, as well as our friends. Why? Because we fail to stay connected with the source of true love. Because we have not allowed God's love to fill us and bring renewal in us. Because we have not allowed God's love to replace our natural self-centered love. That is why drawing close to God in intimacy is so vitally important. If we really do understand the importance of drawing close to God, we will be as wise as David, who seeks the face of the Lord as a response to all situations in life. David had no need to fight for anything on his own behalf, for God provided. We see this in the way God handed him his throne. Therefore, if you are one who understands the value of constantly seeking the face of the Lord, you are the wisest person because you seek the best support you can have in life. We need to respond to what Isaiah wrote. Find Him while He can be found and draw close to Him while He is near. We are living in a time where the gates of grace are widely open. This means that there is opportunity for us to seek Him with all our might in order that we might be deeply connected with Him. In fact, think of seeking Him as what God needs from you. There is a tendency to be man-centered in our thinking, where we wonder what personal benefit we get out of pursuing God and spending time on Him. This is basically an expression of man-centered thinking, to always be mindful of personal benefit in the things we do. But what I want to emphasize right here about waiting upon God is that it is not primarily a man-centered subject. Rather, we wait upon God because the Creator of the universe has extended a personal invitation for you to draw close to Him in intimacy. It is a personal invitation from God, who is longing to have you give Him your heart and your full love, so that in return, He will fill you with the fullness of His love. He is desirous of depositing all of His fullness within you. This can only happen if you are willing to draw near to Him and invite Him to do what He desires within you. There is a sister, a teacher, who spent 1 hour waiting upon the Lord before she goes to bed at night. She shared that one day she was so caught up with trying to write a report that was due that she lost track of time. As she began to write the report, the glory of God somehow fell heavenly upon her room and caught her attention. She then checked her watch and realized that it was about the time when she would normally be waiting upon the Lord. She was so touched by that experience because she understood that God didn't forget about her, even though she had forgotten about Him. He still came with His manifest presence to draw near to her. We humans are quite inconsistent in that when we come across pressing situations, we first throw God aside. God, on the other hand, is very faithful in that He knows we are in trouble if we set Him aside. We will fall farther and farther away from Him. We will be more and more anxious in our self-reliance. Our lives will suffer more and more poverty in all aspects. David sought the Lord while he was in the desert places being chased after by Saul. This makes a very clear point that we need to seek the Lord even in very difficult circumstances in life. Perhaps an emergency situation where we have very little time, or troubled situations where a quick solution is called for, and situations of financial distress where the hour spent on seeking the Lord can amount to another hour of wages. God counts as precious when people choose to seek Him in these times of adverse difficulty, and those who do so are truly wise people indeed. There is another sister who also had decided to spend an hour a day to draw close to God. One day, after having spent 1 hour with Him, she felt absolutely nothing in regards to that time. Neither did God say anything to her. She got up from that time and was about to start her workday when God finally said, "I really do enjoy the time that we have had together." She was so fascinated by what God had told her. It taught her that even though she didn't feel anything during the time of waiting upon the Lord, God had actually been enjoying every bit of her love for Him. Brothers and sisters, when you wait upon the Lord, the main thing is not to feel anything. Yes, you will often feel things taking place during that time, but are you still waiting to draw near to Him even if there are no feelings associated with it? Would you be willing to just draw near to Him with your heart, so that He can enjoy your love for Him? The determined love that you have for Him, the committed love for Him that moves you to sacrifice sleep, set aside tiredness, and set aside personal problems. The main focus of waiting upon the Lord is to satisfy His longing for our love. He desires us because He loves us. Unless we are willing to draw near to Him in intimacy, we will never realize or comprehend how deep God's longing for us is, and how deep His love is for us. We are good at serving zealously in ministry, spending time in studying the Bible, or leading others in Bible study. But if we don't spend time to draw near to God, we will lack the longing for God that is born out of love. It is not hard to conclude that a person who does not show a loving passion for God is a person who does not take time to seek intimacy with Him. If we allow the Spirit of God to enter into the deepest parts of our inner being, if we seek to satisfy God's longing for a loving relationship, we will be able to love those around us with the love that He pours into us. We move from being a person who constantly wants others to love us to a person who constantly pours out the love of God to others. Our inner desire to be loved gets transformed by God to being a desire that would love others unconditionally without demand for return. The greatest poverty that mankind can suffer is the absence of intimacy with God. The greatest wealth that mankind can attain to is to have intimacy with God. He becomes the source of our love and our most intimate friend. Finally, let's look at Proverbs 8, verses 34 and 35. It reads, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." It says here that those who wait daily for God at His gates and doorposts are ones who are blessed. I hope that we are the ones who do this daily and moment by moment instead of occasionally. We can be busy with a lot of things while inwardly we are constantly waiting upon the Lord and desiring Him. Let me explain that waiting upon God begins by first speaking to Him with the language of love. Don't just come to Him and ask a lot of things. Tell Him of your heart's desire and hunger for Him. Tell Him of your fascination of His beauty. Focus your communication with Him around the theme of your love for Him. You can find a position, whether kneeling or sitting, where you can comfortably maintain for a long period of time. Perhaps you can start with a song that speaks of your love for Him. Then you can move to a time of praising Him, focusing your heart upon Him. Then you can draw inwardly as you speak words of intimacy and love with Him. You will realize that when you speak a language of love to Him, your spirit will become more and more revived, and you will become tender towards Him. You will enter into a state of relating to Him that is full of the essence of love. This is something that needs to be nurtured. There is a mother who decided to seek the Lord daily in intimacy after having learned about waiting upon Him. She said that she went through 3 months of feeling absolutely nothing. However, she was determined to seek intimacy with the Lord, so she kept on persevering. She said to the Lord, "I want nothing else than to connect with You. You must reveal Yourself to me through this." She woke up early every day in order to keep to her determination to seek the Lord. After these 3 months, there was a day where she was tremendously filled with the Holy Spirit. She said that there were waves and waves of God's mighty love pounding into her to the point where she was so in love with Jesus that she wanted to eat Him. In Chinese, it's an expression of affection where they say they want to take a bite out of the one whom they love. She was so attracted to the love of Christ that she wanted to take a bite and swallow Him. This testimony points to the work of God. When we seek intimacy with Him, to give Him our love and enjoy His love for us, it enables God to do a miraculous and deep work by enabling us to live constantly in the midst of His love. Are you envious for a life like this, to be living in the midst of God's love? Let's then take time to draw near to Him in intimacy. How about you make a commitment to God now to spend half an hour every day to wait upon Him? This would be a good start. What is most important is consistency. Do strive to be consistent on a daily basis. Furthermore, if you commit to half an hour, then fulfill that entire half an hour. If you commit to 1 hour, fulfill that also. Of course, the more time, the better, but God will respond to what you currently are willing to do. Some commit only for 15 minutes, and that is a start also. You can use the alarm to help keep that time. When the alarm sounds, you can thank God for the fact that He has also drawn near to you and is doing things in you that is beyond your thoughts and imaginations. Over time, you will experience an increase of hunger for Him to where you can increase your time from 15 minutes to 30 minutes. It's like having a date with God. The more you enjoy Him, the more your appetite for Him increases. The more you will extend the time of your date with Him. In a way, you can gauge your intimacy with the Lord by the length of time that you enjoy spending with Him. you will also experience a newfound confidence in your prayer life as you experience Him working in you. To establish a thriving intimate relationship with God requires our daily nurturing of intimacy with Him. How about you make a prayer of response right now and give a daily commitment of waiting upon the Lord for a set amount of time? By the way, this is not to be taken as your daily devotions. This is something that is in addition to your daily devotions. Some have taken advantage of their lunch breaks to wait upon the Lord for 30 minutes in their car or under a tree shade. Others do it in their office work area as well as at home. Whatever it may be, select a good time that you can wait upon the Lord.
This concludes part one of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. Please do continue listening to the rest of the teachings in this series. As a reminder, do take time to practice waiting on God in order to truly benefit from this teaching. May God richly bless you.